You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors. We're a little bit late with the 5 o'clock shadow because of reasons that need not detain us. Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital. And Greg, I don't know, it was one of those days, I couldn't rustle up any interviews today, really. I've done two with you, the opening and this one, and I spoke to Graham Koerner from Koerner Perspective about his views on the markets. But otherwise, it's almost as though it's going into a quiet period after a really hectic May and a really busy start to June.
Yes, it's been a period of high activity, and then you know, just the focus has switched quite a lot to politics the last week or so. But you know, in terms of company results, I think Bidvest is due to give us a trading statement tomorrow. Some of my traders looking forward to that, but otherwise there's not much on the company-specific side.
No, there isn't. I think the big feature, and we have to talk about it, is the Rand. We've spoken about it over the last few days since the GDP release, when it vaulted its way from 1440 to 1480, 85, something like that, pulled back a bit to 1460. I keep on going about these numbers, but they're very important, and now pushing 15. And I don't know about you, but if you're a treasurer in a large company and you export and you import, you're saying to yourself, what do I do here? Do I hedge my exposure against the Rand, or has it run too far? It's a very difficult situation. And that's what corporates don't like. They don't like volatility. They want the Rand at 18. If it stays at 18 for a prolonged period, 1850 to 18, etc. You see what I mean? They don't want the volatility.
Yes, you're quite right. I mean, when you speak to people in that position, what they would, you know, as you say, so that they can work out their pricing, see where their customers' tolerance is for price increases and build all of that in. They can plan 6 months out. But as you say, with this volatility, generally whenever I get a call from a client saying, should I book the Rand now? Should I wait till next week? The safest option, and if it worked well for me over the last 20 years, is I tell them, book it now.
Just do it.
Now you know where you stand. You might be a little bit stronger in a week, but you may be weaker. But at least this time you know what you're getting into.
Do you know where the dollar Rand was on the 6th of June 2009, Greg, 10 years ago? 6th of June 2009. Do you know where it was?
I saw a tweet saying somewhere in the mid-sevens, yes.
It was around about 7.85. And do you know who came to power in 2009, Greg?
Yes, the showerhead himself, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Mr. Jacob Zuma. He came there, and then it's been one-way traffic since then. Look, it may be the strength of the US dollar. It may be all sorts of other factors. It may be emerging markets. It may be risk-off. But I don't think it's that much of a coincidence that we go from, let's call it 8 to 15, let's call it 15, 8 to 15 because of the policies of that extraordinary man.
Yes, I mean, it has been the case. I mean, someone who saw your tweet was WhatsApping me later in the day and saying, just remember that in 2001 it was around 13 as well. So you selected your dates quite well. I actually remember my first trip ever to the US was 2011, and it was 7.50, so a beer in Las Vegas was 75 Rand. It's now 150 Rand, so I'll be drinking a lot less the next trip.
Any SENS announcements, stock exchange news service announcements since we spoke this morning, Greg? I'm looking through and it's all pretty pedestrian stuff.
But one that tickled my fancy here.
Oh, yeah.
It says notice of acquisition of Adcock Ingram Securities. Right. And it speaks about BB Investments Proprietary Limited, which, interesting enough, is actually Bidvest. It's got that in brackets.
Okay.
And I did see a tranche of shares going through in Adcock Ingram about 2 or 3 days ago, about 17 million shares. And I thought, that's really interesting. I wonder who would be buying that. And keeping in mind that Bidvest already owns, I think, 37% of the company. Now it's now been pushed to 43. But
do you think there's a takeover coming? Do you think there's a takeover coming?
I don't want to say it. You said it.
No, I didn't say it. I mean, I don't know about these corporate activities. I don't know what people are up to. But if someone owns 37% of something and then buys more, it seems to me that they're positioning themselves to get a majority, I mean, a controlling shareholding.
I wanted you to rather say it because, you know, you don't want to join dots which aren't there. But it would seem obvious. But, I mean, okay, I don't know why they should have had that since announcement after the market closed. But I suppose it's up to the stock exchange news service how they go about that. Yeah. The share price of Adcock Ingram actually had quite a decent day, up 2.6%, 63.94. It's come from around 61 about 2 or 3 weeks ago. Bidvest trading at 204.15. So quite a wild sort of couple of weeks, sort of been in a range 220 down to about 180.
Okay, great. Let's have a look at the most viewed shares today on sharenet.co.za if we can, on a relatively quiet day. Steinhoff, of course, down. Why is Steinhoff still up there? Every single time it's the most viewed share, down 2.2%. Obviously, some people don't sleep at night thinking about this thing. Sibania down 1.5%, Sasol down 1.9%, and Aspen down 0.8%. Give us the indexes, if you would, please.
Sure. Interesting that Steinhoff. You're right. It's on 22, nearly 23% of the views. So it's probably still speculators, as you say, obsessing, hoping that there'd be something more positive.
Do your traders, just out of interest, is there enough volume for your proprietary traders, your day traders, to actually trade this thing?
No, they wouldn't really. I should imagine it's, private investors, guys who hobby trade, really.
Okay.
Going in and out. The volume of trade is 4.4 million shares at 6 million rand. So it probably just wouldn't be chunky enough. The low today, 136, the high, 141. I've actually got a friend who specializes in taking 2 cent turns on hundreds of thousands of shares. I see him beavering away in it from time to time on his laptop in the pub here. But you just wonder who's keeping such a close eye on that share price. Maybe it's Marcus Huerster.
Yeah, it could be, Greg. That's a mere speculation, of course. Greg, let's talk about the indexes, as I said earlier on. Tell us what happened on the JSE today.
Yeah, so the bank's down 0.67. Financials down 0.43. Industrials down 0.82. Retail is down 0.93. The golden index not letting us down again, up 0.25%. Platinum up 1.3, playing some catch up there. Resources up 0.47. The actual oil share was flat almost, up 0.03, 17 points better, just above 57,091. So it was a day, midday, we were quite strong, and then we came off in the last hour. Value of trade today, 17.2 billion.
Okay, so that's the trade is tailing off. Let me weigh in now with the spot prices, because the dollar rand is 14.97 now, Greg. It's a psychological thing about changing its big figure from 14 to 15, but it looks as though it's going to happen, probably in thin trade overnight. British pound against the rand, oh my goodness, look at that, 19.04 now. That's changed its big figure. And it looks as though the euro rand is also going to change its big figure from 16 to 17. It's 16.91 at the moment. Ouch. Euro dollar, 112.95. And this is a 7-week high for the euro. The euro really surging against the US dollar today. And that was all to do with, what's his name, the ECB president, Mario Draghi, talking the euro up. The gold price is $1,337, which is up nearly $7 an ounce. The platinum price is barely changed at $804, and the palladium price is $1,342, which is up $15. Crude oil barely changed at $61.58. Give us the international indexes, Dow Jones, S&P, and Nasdaq, if you would, Greg.
Going to have to rely on you, Lindsay. Someone has decided to stop fiddling with my Bloomberg screen, and they've made everything a couple of pixels smaller than my glasses can even magnify.
Okay.
Oh, there it comes.
No, I've got it. No, I understand. you're stricken in years and you can't read. The Dow Jones Industrials without my glasses up 0.4% to 25,635. That's another 96 point move. I am having rallied by over 200 yesterday and over 500 the day before. So it's 500, 200. I ran about 840 points in 3 days. It's a massive, massive move. Mr. Trump must be dancing on Air Force One as he leaves Europe. S&P 500 up about 9 points, and the Nasdaq is 0.1% higher. The FTSE in London up around about 0.6, etc. Greg, what are we looking forward to? Let's have a look at those top five up and down, if we can, as we always do. Any features there? Put your glasses on.
Let me just refresh with the latest. I can see one that jumps out at me straight away. British American Tobacco.
Yeah.
That was up 3.5%. 554.62. I did see a note on my desk from Barclays Bank with a target price north of 700. That's quite a nice bounce back. It's been hammered down last week and just was holding on its fingernails above 500. So it's bounced back nicely. There's sort of mixed bag there. Harmony, we spoke about this morning. Raynet, that's a big hold. That's the big hold of British American Tobacco. So that makes sense. Up 2.6%. Impala Platts, my favorite in the platinum space, up another 2.5%, 63.40. That's also probably up about 10 rand over the last 10 days.
On the downside, we've got Sappi down 6.6%. Goodness me. RCL, well, down 4%. We know about that one. Intuprop, we spoke about that this morning, nearly 4% weaker. Itzel Tile, down 3%. But don't worry about that one. Hyprop, down 3% as well. Sappi, Greg, 6.6% weaker. It was up yesterday, and I said, was that to do with the currency? But the currency is weak again today, so obviously not a currency factor. The traders are having fun with this one.
Yes, I think it's difficult to assess really what's happening there. But I think Sappi also getting a downgrade. I see that one down 6.6%.
Okay. Well, what are we going to be looking forward to on the final day of the week? As I said in the introduction, I get the sense that people are sort of winding down a bit. Is it school holidays or something in South Africa at the moment?
Not really. I think tomorrow, I think we've got the non-farm payroll. It's the first Friday of the month, I think, if I'm not correct.
You are.
And then, we're into the weekend. Things are slowing down. We've got the long weekend coming up. I think the Comrades Marathon is almost upon us, I think, this weekend.
Have you entered this year, or are you done with marathons?
The last week was the 5K, and the doctor said never again. My back was so sore.
Oh, no. My son did an Ironman in KwaZulu-Natal over the weekend. He did it in 5 hours and 35 minutes, which is good for his first Ironman, but he said, it's the toughest thing I've ever done, Dad. And I said, I'm sorry, you made your bed, you've got to lie in it. I couldn't do that sort of thing. I want to bring up a story here, Greg, and the headline is Britain's best-known stock picker. Hold on, it's on CNBC. Britain's best-known stock picker posts apology on YouTube after suspension of flagship fund. The reason I bring this up is because we were talking about Clarence Delgado, my good friend and your associate, the famous and elusive hedge fund manager. But this chap is a hedge fund manager as well. And I sort of think that Clarence will be chuckling away about this particular story, because Britain's best known portfolio manager apologised to investors after being forced to suspend trading on his flagship fund after mounting losses and withdrawals. Neil Woodford, who launched Woodford Investment Managers in 2014 after a successful spell at Invesco Perpetual, posted a YouTube video late Tuesday in which he explained the decision and offered an emotional apology to the thousands of investors affected by the suspension. He had 10.2 billion. Okay. And according to Morning Star, it's now 3.7. You've got to be quite talented to lose six and a half billion, haven't you?
Yeah, I want to laugh and cry really when you hear those stories. But having been on, sort of never anywhere those type of numbers, but you go through streaks with the market, and then the market goes through phases where it gives up profits and then it'll change. And once you become experienced in the market, you realize where you shouldn't be pushing for trades that you managed to do even 2 years ago. So I see I'm just looking at his Wikipedia page, 59 years old. So still a young man, been in the market a long time, but let's hope he can make a comeback. But that seems to be the new sort of social media way of handling these things, is going to YouTube and just pouring your heart out. And look, you probably felt a lot better afterwards.
He said he was extremely sorry that the firm had taken the decision to suspend the fund and would keep investors informed with daily updates while using the 28-day suspension to reposition the fund. You know what he was into? He was into illiquid stocks and non-listed securities. So, obviously, I mean, how can you do that? Most of his investments were in stuff that you can't get out of. I mean, you can get into them quite easily, I suppose, but getting out of them, completely different. He's lost 65% of investors' money. That's talent.
It's almost like a 1990s story. We used to hear people, market to market. So, if a stock didn't trade that day, you could make a closing price yourself.
Exactly.
And as you say, if any liquid counts in an unlisted, perhaps I'm going to watch that video tonight. But fascinating story for sure.
It is. In the 3-minute video, just to close on this very sad topic, Woodford said his current strategy, brilliant, his current strategy is to reduce the fund's exposure to illiquid and unquoted stocks to zero. That's his current strategy.
That's where I would start.
That's where I'll say, excuse me. As soon as this fund is open, I'm out of there. So in other words, he's just going to be a normal fund manager instead of this hotshot hedge fund manager. I mean, Clarence must be caning himself at the moment.
Down to the down at his local, having a good chuckle into his beer.
Yes, indeed. Greg Davies, thank you very much for your analysis this evening. As always, that was the 5 o'clock shadow, and Greg Davies is the chief trader at Kratos Capital in Johannesburg. That podcast was proudly brought to you in association with sharenet.co.za.